Well, welcome everybody. Episode 25 of Playing with Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. How can we invest in difficult times? That's the topic of today's episode. And I have a very, very special guest. His name is Dimitri Argyros here in the studio. Now, for everybody that doesn't know Dimitri, Dimitri migrated to Australia from Cairo when he was 29. He's actually of Greek descent. He studied and practiced as a vet in Cairo, but when he arrived in Sydney, life took him in another direction, and he studied accounting and later added financial planning to his long list of talents. Dimitri has a lovely wife, two sons and a daughter, and now runs his accounting and financial planning practice with his second son, Angelo. During this time, Dimitri has worked as a volunteer for the Australian Red Cross in South Africa and for a Greek charity in Tanzania. As you can probably tell, Dimitri has a zest for life and everything that it has to offer, and is passionate about helping his clients set themselves up to early to reap and enjoy the benefits. So welcome, Dimitri.
Thank you, Darren, for having me.
My pleasure. That's one hell of a story. I'm looking forward to getting more into the details. So I thought, Dimitri, before we start, maybe just give us a little bit of a snapshot into your background and your journey, and then we'll go into some questions and answers.
Look, I am the typical Greek of diaspora, Greeks around the world. Yep. You know, there is a half, 10, 11 million Greeks all around the world and another 10 inside Greece. So I'm one of them. I was Greek-Egyptian, now I'm Greek-Australian. Wow. So for the last 30 years or so. And yes, I had a different profession. I developed to become an accountant and financial planner for several reasons, but few griefs and few regrets, but no point. Looking forward, I really enjoyed my path as an accountant, financial planner. Yep. The financial well-being and financial education is always very important, and it was always very important to me. And it was very important to apply to our children as well. Because unfortunately, in today's society, we want to give them education, we want to give them degrees or qualifications or trades, but we don't really teach them how to be financially educated, how to be smart with their money. We only teach them you need to get this to get to that point, to make money, get a good position, be a doctor, be a plumber, be a bricklayer, be whatever you want to be. But then after that, sitting on a big dollars, $100,000, $200,000 wages, and they just spoil it. Or they spend 20 years till they find the significant another half to say, for God's sake, I need to have a family now. Yep. And I need to do this. But the smart people invest constantly from the beginning. So I'm very, really passionate about that. And thankfully, I teach my children to that matter quite well. Also, don't forget, when you are a migrant, it's a different setup than if you are native of the country you are there. I'm sure if I stayed, say, back in Greece, I had a different mentality that when I left my roots and I came here. Because suddenly when you leave your roots and you come here, you are on a survival mode. Yes. You are, you know, everyone is strange. Everyone is difficult. The language is different. The way we drive is on the other side of the road. Everything is different. The holidays are a little bit different, except, of course, Christmas and Easter. Yes. So it is really your adrenaline. It is up here. And so many new things to adopt. So many new things to get to used to that. The new norms.
Yes.
There's not the old norms the same as back home. So this gives you a bit of extra push, you know, to go achieve and conquer, and more likely also to prove to yourself and to prove whoever left behind that I didn't fail, you know. You know, a lot of people say, you don't go to another country. Come and spend your youth here. Don't go with this and take your kids and their youth to another country. Yep. This is your homeland. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
For the same reasons we came here, you know, there's another way for you to prove that you made it, not in dollar value. Dollar value is nothing. True. And the material thing is nothing. Yep. You made it spherical as a family, as a father, as a brother, as a friend, as a colleague, as an employee, as an employer. spherical, as a Greek Australian in Australia, as an Australian, all together, not just one thing. So thank God, I'm really, really very blessed. I was saying this to another friend today, probably yesterday when we were on the phone, how lucky and blessed we are in Australia. When we see the news of USA, definitely, and what we have, and say, leave Italy and Spain, this was a bit out of their control with the health issue, but people queuing for food, and you can see people driving Honda Civics and fairly good cars. So it means they had a reasonable standard of living. It could be me, it could be you, but we are here.
That's right.
So really, really, I'm very grateful for a lot of things in my life, and being in Australia is one of them.
Fantastic. And I can really see, I can feel it in your voice and your energy and your body language that you really have a passion for tasting everything there is in life. And just reading your small bio and all the things you've done, and that was only touching the surface, you really have done a lot.
Darren, I'll tell you some things and then we move on, whatever you want me to ask you. But you know, sometimes misfortunes happens to your life. And then this misfortune happens to your life in a very young age. Yeah. What it does to you? You understand life is very short. And life, it has to be taken very serious because big misfortunes happen. Yeah. So the earlier you do that, the more you think, I don't have time to waste.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. It's not for everyone to be a millionaire. It's not for everyone to be Warren Buffett. It's not for everyone to be Picasso. It's not for everyone to be Mother Teresa. It doesn't really matter. For whatever you want to be, don't have time to waste. You have to have family. Start it early.
Yeah.
You want to have money, save early. You want to have a career, start early. You want to be, I don't know, save the world, start early. Build up the skills so you can save the world.
But that's a very interesting debate in itself, is that how were you blessed with that attitude and way of thinking from an early age? Not everybody is.
I believe that I had several big misfortunes in my life. Couple, very strong, very traumatic, at 4 and at 12. And what did happen, especially at 4, I realized that all these old people, older than me, when you are that little and they are that tall, and you look at them like this, you know, you realize they are not as strong as they look. They are not as, you know, nothing gets them as you look, because they lift you and they put you into bed and you say, I'll go sit here, eat your food, stay there. It doesn't mean that they're strong, because they're crying, they're suffering. Yeah. They're smoking like not tomorrow because they're stressed.
Yeah.
And when you see these events, it makes sense to you. There is an urgency for life, an urgency to live your life at the best of your ability and at the best of your ability and how you perceive your words. And then there's another issue, the constant updating of your values. Because your values at 5, or not 4 or 6, is too early to have values, but probably at 12, 13, when you start to be adolescent, you want to be a bit right-wing or left-wing, a communist or capitalist, religious, not religious, do yoga or pray, do this or do that, go with girls or don't go with girls, whatever it is.
Yep.
Your values, yes, you set it up, but then you have to have the guts and the courage to review them and have a discussion with people with the different values than you and see in them what they do have better than you, and then steal for them whatever they have better for you and adopt it.
Brilliant.
And then see if it works for you, and then adopt it again, and then adopt it again. And the same happens in everything. Same happens in investing. Same happens in your relation with your wife or your husband. Same happens with your relation with your kids, because nobody has a perfect formula. Nobody has, because, I mean, I don't know how many children you have. I have 3 children. The 3 children are different.
Yeah.
It's like came from different families. They came from different parents, but they stayed the same. They are the same.
That's right.
So you have to treat one child different than the other.
Yes.
The same is the investments. Yep. Investments react different. The same is friends, relatives, everything. So you need to really to be open your mind and adapt all the time. It is tiring sometimes, because constant adaptation, it gets you tired, especially when you get older.
That's right.
So I remember when I changed my mobile, I refused any of my younger staff to update it.
Yeah.
The reason is I become then ignorant about everything. So I deal with that 80% all right.
Yep.
And of course, when I stuck with 20%, I don't spend too much time. I ask the right guy, the smart guys that 20, 30 years younger than me. And I said, John, Elias, Daniel, how you do that? And they do tick, 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 tick. And that's it. That's all right. But I'm not too far away.
Yep.
So the same with adaptation in life. You need to adapt. And that's one of the things migrants do well.
That's
because you don't have a choice.
That's very true.
Because they need to adapt. Otherwise, they fail.
Yep.
And otherwise, what do? They can't go back to home sometimes. I was fortunate that I could go back to home because I was not a migrant through a war or through a death disaster. I applied to the Australian embassy. In 3 months, I got my approval and I came in. So it was all nice and smooth. Nothing to the migrations that they're really misfortunes people. I have a choice. But even that, it is really hard to forget. Adaptation is one of the biggest idiosyncrasies of the human race. And that's why we survive. And that's why we conquer the world, because we adapt.
Absolutely. And I mean, even, and I want to kind of tie that into the situation we're all in now.
Yes.
You know, this situation right now needs adaptation. You know, we're
absolutely
adapting and we're all evolving right now. And the topic of today is really going to be, how do we invest, or how can we invest in these times? And before we get into the how, I want to ask you why. Why should we even start thinking about investing when we're all in survival mode right now?
I'll tell you why. In every disaster, the disaster has two coins, the two faces. It's a coin with two faces. It's a disaster one side and opportunity the other side. And I'll give you an example. You bought a house of $500,000 today, and today is worth $400,000.
Yep.
For me, the new buyer is an opportunity. For you, is a disaster. You bought BHP of $45 last 3 months ago. Today is $29 or $30. For me, is an opportunity. For you, is a disaster.
Right.
So, number one, it is, in every opportunity, there is a disaster. In every misfortune, there is something to learn and move on. So now the question is, why is the time to invest now? Because it is a great opportunity. Don't forget, there is trillions of dollars for the reserve banks all around the world pumping the system.
Yep.
Don't forget something very fundamental. There is not always a sunny day, and there is not always a thunderstorm and a catastrophic day.
Yep.
Even Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed everything, but after that was a shiny day. After that was a disaster. Of course, burned a lot of people, but still, there is a lot of comes after that. I mean, I have a little farm in Goulburn,
yep,
and we had the fires. The fires came outside the house. Disaster. Thanks to my two neighbors, they saved the house, and they saved the little house I have, and the sheds, uh-huh, and the tractor. And I went there, it was all black. Everything disaster. I was almost in a depression mood. I went 3 weeks later, guess what? All was shooting back. All was green.
Yeah.
We had a beautiful thunderstorm for about 20, 30 mils for 10 days. So I don't know, 300 mils. The dam was full. The life was back. And what it did, it burned all the dead wood. All the dead wood of years,
yep,
of farming, yep, it burned it out. And now it's clear. It's like you can play golf.
Wow.
So beautiful. So you look at the disaster. And now it is so beautiful. It's a picture. I have to take a picture and show for the other generation after me what was before, what it is. The same is with the investing. Yes, we dropped 30%, 35% from February.
Yep.
And now we are back 25% back from February, the top of the market. But there is opportunity. Warren Buffett said a lot of times, he says, why should I buy a share in a discount price? It was $100 and now it's $60 or $50. I should consider. So if the thematic or the value, why buy and share, it is tick the box, so the story is good, then I consider. So that's a good reason to invest now, but you need to be ready to be invest.
True.
Because if you were fully invested in February, I'm talking about the stock market, if you're fully invested in February, of course now you don't have any extra spare to cash to invest.
That's right.
But that's a process that you have to be always ready to invest in a disaster. You always have a plan B scenario, because there's not always a sunny day and there's not always a day with big thunderstorms. Everything passes a comeback, passes a comeback.
Yeah. So you have to make sure you plan accordingly and set up your finances accordingly.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, I mean, the biggest fund managers have 20% in cash. Why they have 20% in cash? For opportunities like this.
Wow.
For opportunities like this, because they can see when they're supposed to be according to the chart at 5 or 10%, they give a big leeway and they say, okay, I'm going to be 20% now because too many clouds now. So I'm ready for the thunderstorm.
Yep.
So they take the umbrella and they sell it a bit. And then they put a raincoat. They sell even more. They make it 20, 25%.
Yep.
Yes, they're wet. The feet are wet. But the main head and the main body is not wet. It's protected.
That's right.
And then what they do, when everything clears up, whoops, buy again. And they go back again on a cheaper price to have the leg up. And nobody knows when this disaster is going to stop. But I think you can invest wisely over the period of time and take the opportunity. So that's answering to why. I think investing is a continuous process. It's not one transaction. It's that you did when I was 25 or 30 or 35 or 40 and that's it. No. Investing is a monthly, quarterly, yearly process. It doesn't matter how it is, but it needs to be on a constant time frame and reviewing your investment in a constant time frame. It is difficult. It's easy to be said, but that's how it works. And that's how the smart money make more money.
Yep. In other words, there's no right time. Every time there's an opportunity, you have to just see it and be ready for it.
And don't forget, a lot of times we make the assumption that we picked the top or we picked the bottom. This is all, to me, very, very,
relative.
Very, very arrogant way to think that you're so smart that you really say, this is the top. February 10th or 20th was the top. I said it. Yeah, you said it another 30 times before that.
Yeah, that's right.
And it never happened. And then once it happened now, you say, I said it, I was right. Of course, but 29 times where you were wrong.
Yep.
The same with the bottom.
Yep.
So the smart money, they don't care. Not that they don't care, they care, but they don't really put too much emphasis if they are right or wrong. They need to spread out. So I'm a bit here, a bit there, a bit there, a bit there. So if this goes a little bit south, it's okay. The rest is all right. And I make a decision about this 5 or 10%. And then I make a decision about this 5, 10%.
Balanced accordingly. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Wow, that's very impressive. I mean, it totally opens up my eyes in how you should be thinking about investing. So it's really an everyday scenario. You'll be thinking about this every day, looking for opportunities and assessing opportunities if they're worth investing in right now or not.
And the critical scenario is you have a long-term plan.
Yep.
And you have a short-term plan and a medium-term plan. But the long-term plan determines the short and the medium.
Yep.
Why? Say you are 30, you are 40. It's a different plan than me that I'm a 50 or 60 or 70. Is a different plan that you are 20.
Yeah.
It's a different risk. So if you are, say, 30, 40, you need to look another 30 years time. This 20, 30% on the share market, if I show you the chart since chart started in 1800, it is nothing. You can't even see it. It's a blip. But for today, for us, that we lost 30% and I'm 70 and I'm retiring, yeah, or 67, I'm retiring, yeah, it is a big issue. The 30% drop. For me, on my microcosm, when you amplify it and you put it in a big, under microscope where I am, it is big 30, 40%.
Right.
But for the 30 years time frame, it is nothing.
That's true.
So the investment of this 30 years old man or woman is going to be different than the 65 or 67. That's a critical point. It's not the same thing. It's not one scenario fits everyone.
Yep. It's very subjective. Yep.
And also the risk tolerance. The other thing is very much important, the risk tolerance. You and me, we can have $1 million debt for the same house. Sorry, you and your wife, you can have $1 million set for the same house. You sleep like a baby, your wife cannot sleep, or the other way around. What is wrong or what's right? Nothing is wrong, is nothing wrong, right. Just her risk tolerance, she can't have $1 million. But if you tell her you have $500,000, that's all right. But for you, $500,000 is too little. Why I should have $500,000 when I can have $1,000,000 and work harder than me?
Yep.
So this is also the risk tolerance that you have to bring together. And nobody's right, nobody's wrong. It's just your body, if you can't take your risk, it's like, I like sweets, but I used to be very tolerant to sweets before 20 years when I was younger. Now, if I eat a lot of sweets and big pavlova and at 10, 11 o'clock, I can't sleep at night. But I still like sweets.
Yeah.
So I still like risk, but I can't take the risk as 20 years ago.
That's right.
I can't take the pavlova or the sweets as 20 years ago. So you have to adapt to that, and you have to acknowledge that, okay, for Dimitri today, because he's a bit older, he eats pavlova up to 2 o'clock after midday. After that, he has a heartburn, so don't eat pavlova. But you still enjoy pavlova.
Fantastic, I love it. Fantastic. So really, it's just about, it's a personal situation, your financial situation, it's subjective, it's who else you have to consider in this, in the formula. There's so many things that go into this, into the decision-making process.
Absolutely.
But let's say when you're ready to invest, what should we do? Are there, should we talk to certain people? Should we collaborate with certain people? How and what should we invest in these time, in difficult times in particular?
Okay, this is a very good question. And it depends who is the person who asked the question. Mm-hmm. And I explain. If you are a person who started at 20 years old and you bought the first home with the help of mom and dad, and you went through the process of paying your mortgage, you got your apprenticeship, or you went through uni, and you start saving, and you have $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, and then you find the Mrs. Perfect, that she was also similar to you, she has another $20,000, they bought an investment property. This person at 30 or 40 needs less advice from someone else than someone who did nothing, he never thought anything, he didn't do anything, he just got his $50,000, $60,000, $80,000, as graduate of an accounting firm and from an accounting firm, and that spent it all.
Yep.
So it depends on your personal. And then there another critical thing, even the very structural and very capable person, the problem is we don't know what we don't know. So the problem is we think we know because we only got to these areas that we exposed. It's like I open Gregory's the old days a map. And we think Liverpool or where I live, this is the whole world, but it's not. You open the next page, it is not Sydney. You open the next page, it's Victoria. You open the next page, it's Australia.
That's
so
right.
So I'm looking to these four, two pages, which it says the area that I live. And I think this is all opportunities I have. So going and ask someone that it will tell you, okay, there is this opportunity, there is another opportunity, there is another opportunity, and try to understand what is the risk related to that? And if it fits your long-term scenario, or this person helped you to do a long-term scenario, that's the added value of getting someone next to you. And I'll tell you something. The most successful entrepreneurs, the most successful businessmen are the people who pay or take advice.
Wow.
And they implement the advice. Not just pay and take the advice. In the private conversation before that, I had some advice for a very capable person, but I had difficulty to apply it. You know what I mean? So this is not just to pay and take the advice, but to take the advice and implement the advice.
Yes.
So you can judge it and implement the advice in a critical way, not in a critical bad way. Understand it. See if it fits you. Fits, okay, I don't know 100%. I have to rely on his expertise, but 80% makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's a value. Every successful entrepreneur, every successful business surrounded by successful team.
That's right. And I'm learning that more and more these days.
You have a successful team.
Yep.
I want Darren for my media. I want Darren for my media. I want Darren for Daniel for coach. I want this for my lawyer. I want this for my real estate agent. I want this. So I'm surrounded. So when I have a question, it just is a phone call to the right person. It gives me the right answer. Nitty gritty, I don't have to go and search. And of course, it's going to be a transaction for that. But that's a value of getting advice. Some people think that they have to do everything by themselves. That's fine.
Yep.
Some people, they take the advice we give them and they walk away and they never implement it. And when you call them 3 months, 6 months later, I said, Darren, we said this and this, why you don't do it? You know, I'm not ready. I wanted to have a second opinion, what you thought, and I realized that I have a choice. So blah, 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 blah. So nothing you could do. And you get another one, you give him the advice today, and in 3 months, he's already done, implemented, and he's coming for a review, what you could do better.
Exactly.
Which would succeed in life.
What a difference. Yep. Yep. So that's actually a really good point. I mean, just out of interest, generally that people come to see you to get advice for wealth, what percentage actually implement quickly and what percentage don't implement so quickly?
Because we do different stuff. So we do creation wealth. We do protect wealth.
Yep.
And explain. We do protect lifestyle.
Yeah.
And we do some tax advice.
Okay.
So the tax advice is always the first one to implement.
Yeah, of course.
Nobody wants to pay tax.
Of course.
So this is the first. If I tell you, you know, Darren, if you do this and this and you do a salary sacrifice and you save this because you transfer this to here, this is, by the way, tell me where to sign.
Tell me where to sign. I'll sign twice.
Yeah, twice. So there's no, this is first thing. Then it comes the implementation of wealth creation. This is a bit more, it needs to be mature. The person, not mature, of course he's mature, but it needs to be internalize the advice to see, okay, yes, I understand where you come from. Do some of them, they do some of their own research, make sure that what we said, it fits with this ideas and when and what they want to be, and they understand it. And the other one we do is the life protection, the lifestyle protection. This is probably 70% they implemented straight away.
Gotcha.
The wealth creation, they implemented probably 80%.
Okay.
The tax, 95%.
100%.
There are some just want to have a chat.
Yep.
So I have $500,000 and I own 3 houses and I just got paid this, I sold my house $500,000 or is an inheritance. What should I do? And they come and yep. We went through everything like a big job to give them the best advice. And they just walk away. And then a year later or 6 months later, when we call, I said, look, do you want us to do anything else? You say, no, thank you very much. 50% of them, they do nothing. It's just, they want a second opinion to think if they should do this or buy another property.
Yep.
And the other 50%, they go and they implement the advice on their own way.
Uh-huh.
I had a young lady and a young gentleman, a couple, they very high income earners, and they say, should I buy a second property and a third property as an investment property? And we did the plan over 5 years to buy the second property and then the third property. And that's what they did without our any extra input. We just did 80% of the work.
Yep.
They see the strategy works. And they went and they bought the final property, one in Watercroft, I remember, one I can't remember where else. And they bought the property on their own. And because we contact them every year out of courtesy, after they complimented, say, oh, thank you very much. Yeah, we bought the second property, work of, but there's no other need because these people are very stand at their own feet.
Yep. They feel comfortable. They just executed straight away.
Yes, they just wanted a second opinion. Some others, they want to hold their hand, and some others are poor time. They're time poor.
Right.
Some others, they're very high income earners, very good at what they do. Usually, this is IT people. Because they had too much in their plate and they worked 24/7 almost on call.
Yep.
And of course they have young children, capable wives, and then a lot of money. And they say, look, I don't have the time.
Yeah.
These people are the people who really also do very well. Because there is other people, yeah, I don't have the time, and they try to do it themselves. So what it does, because they are not sure, they procrastinate on the decision making.
Mm-hmm.
So should I buy this or should I buy this? And because they're not sure, they don't do anything. And they sit and they sit and they sit. So the time poor people, some of them, when they get the external help, they achieve a lot faster results than the people.
Happy to outsource. They say, okay, I don't have the time. You're the expert. Here you go. Go for it. And then they just let
you. But they understand what you tell them. And they have to be, they have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And they have to understand and you have to send a lot of papers. And a lot of qualification, what you said that, what you said that. So they're not, you know, someone who just...
Not naive by any means.
Not naive, not at all. I mean, someone who earns big dollars and is smart in life, don't expect to be naive. I mean, he asks a lot of difficult questions, backwards and forth, backwards first, but you enjoy that.
Yeah.
The reason is I enjoy that is because it's part of the decision process. Mm-hmm. So I explained to you, Darren, and you said, and I said, and we decided.
Yeah.
And that's the result. So I don't want to take the credit, and I don't want to take all the blame. So it's more shared credit, more shared blame.
Like
at the end of the result, we want better result for you and for me, the client and for me, the advisor.
Fantastic. You're co-pilots in the same journey.
Absolutely. And it gives more power to me because I can understand better what are his fears. I can understand better what he's looking into. Because in an interview for an hour and a half, you can't really distill everything.
Yeah.
And then a few phone calls, you can't distill everything. But when you discuss the investment strategy, you discuss what I do this and why should I do this and show me this and show me this, you get the fear out of that. And I'll give you a little example is, if your father was bankrupt and you never told me because you were 10 years old and your father went bankrupt and now you are 50, it's almost a forgotten story. Your greatest fear is for you to be bankrupt.
Yeah.
It's because you don't want to live what your father did. But we don't know. And sometimes I said, why we don't do this? I say, yeah, but what about this? And then what it comes the story from the childhood.
Yeah.
That
incredible.
Is, my father was bankrupt and I don't want to be like my father. Yeah. That's why I became a surgeon. That's why I make a lot of money. That's why I invest constantly. I don't want to be bankrupt.
Yeah. Wow.
So but it needs time for this. So these people that they are time poor and they ask a lot of questions, they go a long way.
Fantastic. Incredible. And have you got an example, Dimitri, of someone that has made a really good investment or taken advantage of a really good investment opportunity right now in this difficult time?
Yes. Actually, I have an architect that he had an SMSF. He has an SMSF and he has an industry super. And the question was, I have this industry super and it doesn't do anything. It sits and makes 3-4%. It's annoying me. Let us put all in SMSF. I say, okay. Then we put it all in SMSF. That's fine. It makes sense. There is reasons and all the compliance.
And just for everybody out there, SMSF is self-managed super fund.
Self-managed super fund. Yes, my apologies. Self-managed super fund. And then the money is sitting in the SMSF in the self-managed super fund cash account. And then every 2 days, can we invest? Why we don't invest? Should invest, very nice and polite. The guy wanted to invest it. Why we have, and I had this issue that is January now, late January, early February. And I said, look, say Darren, I'm a bit skeptical to invest all the money now. Yep. Let me wait a little bit because something is cooking, but I don't know. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe the market shoots up again and we miss an opportunity. Are you happy?
Yep.
And he said, okay, I'll leave it to you. And then the market dropped 10%. So he sent an email and he said, Dimitri, it's a good time to invest. I said, no, it's a falling knife.
Yeah.
I can't really invest in a falling knife. Let me wait. He said, okay. Then he dropped another 10%. He said, Dimitri, whatever you want to do, please do it. I want to ask you another question.
I love it.
But this was a really good story. Now, I mean, it could be half luck, half abilities.
Yeah.
But even if it is 20% ability and 80% luck, I'm quite happy with that. That's a good story. And now we're waiting for him to allocate the money in a small parcels.
Yeah.
When we go up.
Fantastic. So
another story. It's one of the biggest clients I have. I saw the issue with the January, February. And don't forget, not me saw the issue. A lot of other people saw it. It's not my particular skills that I'm the guru, nothing. The media was full of scenarios of.
Yeah, we were watching it all over the world come to us over time.
Something's going to happen, but no one thought it's going to be from coronavirus.
Yeah,
right. You thought something, China war, Donald Trump, something like this.
Yeah.
And because I was afraid something goes wrong, so what I started, we started to liquidate 20% of the positions. So you are on a growth portfolio. So you're 80% in the market, 20% in the cash. So we started to become 40-60.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Just to have enough gunpowder now to go and buy.
Yeah.
And of course, we communicated this to the client. He said, okay, please do. We've done it. And we thankfully did it. Now the client says, why you did only 20? You should have done it 50%. I said, but I didn't know the result.
That's right.
I didn't know it's going to go 30% down.
Yep.
I mean, if you think you have a guru, no, you don't have a guru.
No such thing.
I have a calculated risk. So, okay, if it goes 30% down, at least I have some money for me to go back. I'm not just cashless.
Yep.
That's all my point was. And now we're sitting in cash waiting to rebalance the portfolio.
Wow. Wow. So it just goes to show that even in this market, as you say, there are opportunities. As long as you're geared for taking advantage of those opportunities, that's also very important. A lot of people forget that.
Yep. You have to be keen to take advantage of opportunity. You know what you're looking for and be patient.
Yep.
And switch off a little bit the media. The media, I was reading today about Bitcoin. One analyst said the Bitcoin is going to be $10,000 back. Another one's going to be $1,000.
Yep.
And all of them are credited. And all of them are glum. And if you search the Google, the name, they are all big achievers,
yep.
YouTubes, stars, you know. Who you believe?
That's right.
None, really. It's too much noise because extreme news sells.
Yep.
Extreme news sells, especially negative news sells.
Yep.
So you need to be a bit more patient and small transactions in a timely manner. Be patient.
Test it as you go as well before you take a big jump.
As you go. So if you did a mistake, you did a mistake on a small parcel. You didn't do a mistake. And if you did well, okay, you did well in a small parcel, not the whole parcel.
Yeah.
Be grateful that you picked it because you could go the other way around.
That's right, exactly.
I mean, to be grateful what you have is a great, really, thing to have. And patient. And people, when they want to invest, I have a lot of clients that come, not a lot, but I have probably new clients coming. I want to invest my reserves. So someone has $200,000, he wants to invest the 100. Yeah, has 190, wants to invest the 100. And he wants it straight away. So you need to be patient. Yes, maybe we missed the opportunity, the 100% opportunity, but I'm sure we pick it up. So there is, this is not my sales, another guy who does some webinars, he says, take the easy money. The easy money is not the money that they are in the bottom or the top, the money that in the middle.
Yeah, I like that.
So as it goes up, you take this money, just this money, not the money in the bottom. This is hard money.
Yep.
You need a lot of skill and a lot of luck.
Yep.
Okay, maybe you say you have the skill, but you need to have the luck.
That's right.
Because a lot of things you don't know.
Yep.
And to sell here, it's also, you need a lot of skill and probably you need a lot more luck than skill.
Yep.
But to buy and sell here and make money, this is the easy money.
That's very interesting.
So why we look for the hard money?
Yep.
We just go for the easy money, but consistently, slowly, every month and every month and every month.
Yep.
And then it's the accumulation effect. It's the compounding effect.
That's right.
If I earn $10 today and tomorrow $10 and tomorrow $10, in 12 months, it's $120 on the top of my $1,000. And then next year is going to be $12 every month and $13 every month and $14 every month and goes up. And before I know, I'm a millionaire.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And even we were talking just even before the show about anything that you do, you have to implement and execute daily with patience and make sure that you do it to the 100% of your plan. And that's exactly the same with investment, it sounds like. You know, instead of waiting to the top and just taking the money when it's easy and you got lucky quickly, take something from the middle regularly over time for your whole life and stick to that strategy. And then over time, that strategy will be the winning strategy.
You know, Greeks love property. You know, Greeks love property in Australia. Greeks have the highest percentage of property ownership from the migrants in Australia. This is
right?
True.
Is that right?
Okay. They have because it is a sense of belonging. So I bought my house 2 years after I came to Australia. It was clinching in, you know, you need to clinch in that nobody's going to take me here. I'm succeeding.
That's right.
So this is really backing, and a lot of other migrants and Arabs and Chinese and Vietnamese.
Yep.
So a lot of migrants that love property. You know who is most successful property owner? Because I'm an accountant, I've seen the story of success of hundreds of people and thousands of people literally over my lifetime as an accountant.
Yep.
Especially from my previous practices that I had higher number of clients. And you know who is the most successful story?
Yeah.
The uneducated council worker that he just bought the next property for his daughter, and the property after that for his son. Wow. And then he bought for his cousin. Yeah. And he just bought for his nephew, you know, for his grandson. And he just, and when I said, Mr. Markopoulos, for example, why did you buy all in the same street?
Yeah.
I said, I don't know. Just was empty there. So I thought I'd go and bid. So I took it. But when you look at their lifetime, they are millionaires.
Yep.
Because they have these properties in Vaucluse and in Poch Point.
Yep.
40, 50 years ago. And all they did, they didn't go to find the best opportunity. They didn't go to find what is the best tax, you know, minimization. They didn't go. They just invested.
Yep.
And as long as they could, they just invested. And they just invested. And now they're sitting and they're multimillionaires. And believe me, hardly they know to write their name in Greek or in English.
Fantastic.
I mean, they know to write, but you know what I mean. It's yeah, really yeah. Not the smartest. But financially very smart.
Very smart, yep.
And financially very educated.
Wow.
The compounding effect of continuous investing. And so why do I need to invent the wheel? I see this past story of these people, and you have to be humble to understand and read the story through the financials and through the balance sheet, the profit and loss. You see them every year. And I said, why this Mr. Markopoulos or whoever it is, just a fake name, did so well, and John Smith or Dimitri Smith stuffed it up, and he has $200,000 or $300,000 a year.
Yeah,
and he's, why these two blocks that did different?
Yep.
The only difference is the lifestyle and continuous investment. The other guy was content with a bit less and continuous invest. The other side, the Dimitri Smith, was never content with his lifestyle. He was always want more, 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 and now.
Yep.
And he didn't. He did one investment and that's it.
Yeah,
he bought a big house with a swimming pool, whatever, and that's it. And now he's waiting to appreciate. So it's a lot of wisdom when you see other people's accounts and other people's lifestyle in financial. And that's where we're very, very fortunate, because we learn from our clients.
That's right. You learn, you see the spreadsheet in front of you.
Yes, and we see what they invest, because they have to tell us. Yeah. And you understand. But you need to have two things: to be analytical,
yep,
and to be humble, to think that I don't know everything.
Yes.
This guy who comes on a dirty shoes and a dirty uniform, and he's not tight, and you know, and he doesn't speak as good as supposed to be.
Yep.
He could be a lot smarter than me, and a lot of times they are.
Wow! Fantastic! I love it. Well, Dimitri, that is very, very interesting. I've never been an expert from a financial investment point of view, so I've learned a hell of a lot. And I have to rewatch this many times to understand everything. But before we finish up, have you got any little tips or advice other than what you've already shared? Because you've already shared so many golden nuggets of advice. But if you wanted to leave the viewers and the audience with just one or two little things, what would you say?
I think you need to read yourself. What is your risk tolerance?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at this point of time in life?
Mm-hmm.
And don't believe that you don't have time.
Okay.
I mean, because we don't know how long we live. Today, we're going to live up to 90.
Yep.
So if you are 50 or 60, it doesn't mean you're just over the cliff.
Yep.
So this is another step. And then invest continuously in small parcels, okay, to do the average cost. And invest the things that you can understand in some sort, so you'll be more confident.
Yeah.
And take advice. Yeah.
So if you know, if you're more comfortable with property, don't go start playing around with, you know, all sorts of crazy shares and dividends and bonds that you don't understand. Stick to property.
But you need to understand also the opportunities of having the shares and the market compared to the property. A lot more liquidity, a lot more exit strategy, diversification, if already you have two properties. That's so great. This is where the external advice comes. So that's in great. A nutshell, invest continuously, read your risk, and invest in small parcels, and take an advice.
Definitely.
Take an advice, analyze it, understand it. And if you don't like it, take another advice.
Yep.
If you don't like it, or you don't like the person who gives you the advice.
Yep.
At the end of the day, you need to find something works for you, but only you can chase it. No one else. You need to put it the system, no one else.
That's right. Yep. Yep. You can only learn so much. You have to execute at some point.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And so, Dimitri, if people want to find you and Silver and Young Private Wealth, how do they find you? What's the best way?
You just log in our website. I think you can have an appointment.
Sure.
That system, and all call 96007760 and ask for Dimitri or L. And yeah, just Google us syprivatewealth.com.au.
Fantastic. Well, Dimitri, I really appreciate you coming on the show on Thanks Easter time. Monday. You know, I mean, it's a special show for today. And I really learned a lot, and I hope the audience also has learned a lot. So thank you again. It was really a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Darren. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And for everybody out there, thank you, guys. Have a great Easter Monday. And we will see you very, very soon, probably tomorrow, actually, for another episode. So stay tuned.